Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Life's busy. Take this deck. There's heaps to do on it. Like, polishing off this wine. That's tough. Life's pretty good with a Trex deck. Composite decking with no hard maintenance. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.
G'day everybody, welcome to the Carlton Show, round 10, 2019. Kilda get us by 13 points down at Docklands in the Battle of High Noon, or the, whatever they were calling it. It felt like one of those days that the story for the loser was going to be more significant than that for the winner, and we'll wait and see exactly how that plays out in the coming days, weeks and months. Baz, good to see you.
G'day, Andy. Gex.
Go.
Bucket, Baz, good to see you all again.
Yeah. Is it welcome to the jungle or another day in paradise?
It's certainly not the latter, I don't think. Certainly not that. It's a weekend of...
Weekend of Bernie's.
I felt a bit like that.
Anyone's died again.
Oh, boy. A lot of questions.
Oh, boy.
A lot of questions. Not necessarily about the game, because I think that was pretty self-explanatory, to be honest. But a bit of where to from here for me now. I know that there's, we're 1 week into the 4 weeks. It's been anointed by many as being the, you know, telling 4 weeks, and at the end of it, we'll know, and all the rest of it. But I don't know. After the lead up to that game, you know, the players taking ownership and the whole box and dice and the brightish start that we made, that was. To walk out of that game kicking 8-7 and getting beaten pretty comfortably, I think 13 points was about the best we could have hoped for, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sure. That was, I don't know about you, but that was a pretty, another pretty deflating performance. For somebody who wants to, somebody whose starting point is you want to hold the line, you want to hold the line, it's getting harder to hold the line as every week goes by.
Absolutely. I mean, Gecko alluded at the end of the program last week that, you know, St Kilda had an average of around, what was it, Gets? About 10 or 11 goals, something like that, you know. And, look, to their credit, we kept them down to 68 points. Well, that was their second last, that was their second lowest score, St Kilda, for the year, 68 points. And, again, we can't achieve a victory keeping aside to 68 points. We did that to the Gold Coast up in, well, obviously up in the Gold Coast, and we kept them down to in the 60s. And couldn't get the job done there either. We go in with the three tools and we get, if they think that it's just the three tools and it's a matter of, it's just going to happen, well, they're delusional, absolutely delusional in just thinking that you just go in with those three tools and they'll kick three and four each and then you'll have 12 goals or so. And then
problem
everyone
solved.
Else will,
yep.
Yeah, problem solved. Yep. Everyone else join in for a goal each and we finish up with 17. Well, it doesn't happen, and it's not happening in the AFL across the board, I would say, but he has taken, or the club has taken, or some, the coaches have taken this path of playing the three tools, and for whatever reason, at the moment, it's just not coming together in that specific area of the ground, and a lot of it obviously is a bit of, like, who the delivery... The movement, who's up there? There were times I saw Silvani.
He was the most targeted player.
That was incredible.
He was our most targeted player.
That is...
Never looked like... With no disrespect to Jack.
None whatsoever.
Didn't look like taking a mark.
No.
He contested. He certainly contested.
Of course he's playing the role of a key position player.
When we've got three.
Yep.
And, you know, he's the second most targeted player going forward. Matthew Cruiser.
What, really?
Silvani, 6. Targets inside forward 50. Cruiser, 5. Targets inside. McGovern wasn't. You know, Mackay and Kurt Charlie were next. You know who the next two were? Cripps and Dow. We got. If there's an idea or if there's a plan, they are a million miles away from executing it, unless this is the plan. And if this is the plan, then it's a highway to hell, is what it is. Because they're going, no, they can't win. There were times on the weekend when we went through that phase of having 21 or 24 inside 50s dominating ground, but never really looking like scoring, we couldn't find one of the three big blokes. Charlie was okay. Harry got up the ground a bit late and started to use him a bit. McGovern was horrific. It was all over the shop on Sunday. It was that was as messy and as shambolic as a performance you wouldn't ever wish to see.
Who do you label that on, Gex? Do you label it squarely and fairly on the coach and coaches? Do you label it squarely and fairly on the players? Is it, you know, leadership group? It is a culmination of everything there.
Well, I'll start again with my macro micro, because we analysed 7 days of Carlton and we just basically look at what happened this week and why was the mess created and why did it happen this time. For me, this has been going on for three coaches it's been going on for: Pagan, Malthouse, and now a third coach. And for me, this goes far deeper than this year's turn of events.
Ratton in between. You forgot.
Well, Ratton in between, whatever. But I'm talking about those three main dynasties for me, where we've bottomed out for whatever reason. But there's been a stink about the club for a long time, and it's always been a cultural, chemical, technical, it's a combination of so many bloody things that you cannot put your finger on what the hell it is. Now, is it the fact that the players aren't teachable or they aren't technically skilled enough to actually execute whatever they're trying to do? I don't know. But I've got notebooks full of game results and some sort of synopsis on what happened for the day, and they're all the same. You can go through any one game over the last 10 years and it's always the same thing. We have no plan in a forward line. We bomb the ball inside 50. We lose momentum. We can't get it back. We're not tough enough to resist pressure. On Saturday, we could see from last week that we actually had a set of criteria. We had a set of criteria that looked like it was going to be a balanced game of football. So we were in the match as predicted. We are our own worst enemy. I think more than any other team in the competition, we have consistently beaten ourselves more than the opposition beating us. We commit hurry-curry. We get the ball, we're in various scenarios, and we just turn it over for no reason, almost like they're too scared to win or something.
Well, turnovers have been horrific. Our clangers have been up in the top, I think, four in the league all year.
Yeah.
And, you know, further to that, it must be, you know, like Gex is saying, in years gone by as well. You know, we think we have a reasonable, talented, young list. We all think that. We've been singing from the same hymn book for a few years now. But what is happening is that a few of these younger players perhaps are getting games where they shouldn't be. They can't bring their best every week. They're not physically up to it every week in AFL standards. But there's another problem, is that what's lies underneath in the reserves coming up is not exactly better than what's actually in the seniors at the moment. And that's another issue in itself. So you don't have this push from beneath, right, that actually says, well, hang on a minute, you know, he's been busting the door down. Yeah, spell Fisher, spell Dow, or spell Petrevsky, Seaton, or whoever. And, you know, depth is a big, big thing in AFL. You know, you can see quite a few clubs at the moment, you know, they're bereft of injuries. They've got injuries left, right, and centre. But they can still get the job done, some of them.
Mm.
We need everything going our way. We need every decision on the park going our way, player and otherwise. We need the bounce to go our way. We need virtually everything to go our way at the moment to actually close a game out. And, you know, on the weekend, it was probably one of the – like, it wasn't a massive defeat on the scoreboard, no, but I sat there throughout the second half particularly. I was sitting there shaking my head.
Absolutely.
At some of the decisions that these players, these talented, in inverted commas, players that we think we have on our list are making. It is.
Well, our footy IQ across the board, as it was displayed on the weekend, by a group of players, was horrible. Like, they were horrible.
You don't see it in horrible. Other teams.
No,
this
no,
is,
you
this
don't.
Is my
no, no.
point.
I understand that. It would appear that the footy IQ of our players is way below par, competition par. And likewise, I was left with the impression on Sunday that we don't look like we know how to utilise our best players. We don't know how to maximise. We look like a group at the moment that doesn't know how to maximise the talents that our players have got. They're all over the shop. They're bees to honey pot. They panic when they get the footy. They have no
I
gun, they have no oh,
I noticed
it's terrible
the,
on the
panic
weekend.
Is,
it was no it was terrible.
And when, not under and pressure
it,
either.
And
it's
when
chaos.
It's when it sets in, they revert to horrific habits. Mm. Horrible habits. Four hands on the ball, they lose all their shape. We lose composure so quickly. Ten minutes ago in the first quarter, it felt like, oh fuck. Momentum, even though we were 3-4-2 on the screen, it felt to me like we're hanging on here.
Mm.
We were hanging
in the,
on.
Oh, the signs were there.
Approaching the end of the
there.
First quarter.
Yeah.
First quarter or second?
Oh, no, approaching the first quarter.
First
end
quarter?
Of the first quarter.
Yeah.
It
was a funny day for me. I felt a bit weird about when I see we kick easy goals, I always think like, oh, geez, something's happening here that doesn't happen usually. We normally fight long and hard for our goals. Yeah, that first quarter towards the end, perhaps they're getting a little bit of momentum for sure. Second quarter, they come out they come out better
yeah,
than us.
Yeah. They could have been.
You know, but, you know, half time, we obviously know what
well,
happened
how,
just before half time.
How horrific was I mean, well, that was the two Plamen. This is goes to the IQ, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What Plamen did before half time and what he did in the last minute and a half,
mate.
It's unforgivable.
It's unforgivable.
And for a bloke who's played nearly 100 games and was a number three pick in his national draft, How he makes those decisions?
I don't know.
And then the skill execution is beyond belief.
It's,
you can't be
two
a good
weeks after,
you can't be a good team
2 weeks after the Collingwood example.
I know you can't be a good team if you do that.
I don't get it.
You can't
it
be a good team if you do that. You well, can't be. So
is that not understanding the first one I'm talking about just before half time? Does he not know? And now I know. Len Villani holds up the 1 minute thing, right? Now, players should know that at certain times you've got to have a quick look at the bench. Do you not?
Baz. Yeah, of course. Sorry, keep going.
And you know, would he have known at that stage there was very little time in that quarter to go? He would
yeah,
have
of course
to,
he would know.
Surely.
That. Of course he would know.
Surely.
That. Yeah.
Well, that's just a long one to the line, isn't it?
Baz. With a minute to go in the second quarter, we're in front. 3 points, but we're in front, right? Take the lead into halftime, reset, away you go.
It's something for this team.
He pulls
it's
the
something.
He pulls the trigger and goes inboard. A minute and a half to go, we're two goals down.
And he goes into the pocket.
He goes in the pocket and then calls for it back.
It's just
and then goes to the other pocket.
Mm-hmm. This is unbelievable.
When he's got Charlie Curnow, Matthew Cruiser and Patrick Cripps 60 metres down the line saying, kick the fucking ball to us, mate.
It's incredible.
So when he shouldn't go before halftime, he goes. And when he should go late, he doesn't go.
He doesn't go.
Now, this is a bloke who, I hate to do this, drive it through one bloke, but they have backed this bloke. They've backed him.
They
rate
they
him.
Have.
They rate
have.
Him.
Yep.
They rate him. They've made him a pillar of this team. If you're putting your eggs in those baskets, sooner or later, you stop blaming the player. Sooner or later, you stop blaming the player.
Yep, and you can revert to the
teacher. What are you doing, mate? What are you doing, mate? What are you doing?
Oh.
And we've all been, people who listen to this show, I think by and large, while we try and pull it apart every now and again, I think most people would know that, in fact, we've been called I've been called an apologist for Brendan Bolton, right? I've been a supporter of the decision and the process. And I'm not 100% off it. I might have been close to 100% last night. I'm not 100% off the process just yet. But I'm a lot closer to radical change now than I was 24 hours ago. I don't know whether you blokes are. And I know you talk macro, micro, and all that sort of stuff. But sooner or later, something's got to give. Something's got to give at a footy club. And it's bigger bigger than just the coach at Carlton. And I want to make a point about that at some stage tonight.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah. Look, it obviously falls on one bloke at the moment. That's the way the industry works. Agreed, Gex? That's what happens. Generally speaking,
I don't know how you're framing that question. Do I believe it's on one bloke? No.
No, but that's not what I said.
I said you know how the industry works.
The football world will pin it on one bloke.
Right.
Yes.
Correct. So, let's say it's 50% coach and 50% many other things. The list itself, the list manager, development. A lack of confidence, midfield depth, all those sorts of stuff, cohesion, all the fancy-pancy stuff is the other 50%. Well, all I'll say is that if 50% is the coach in charge at the moment and then they make a move on this particular fella, Brendan Bolton, whether it be now or at the end of the year, by golly, whoever they get,
If he
thinks he's walking into something of it's great talent and
potential
and all the rest of it, he's got the other 50% that I've just outlined, right, that we can go through in detail if anyone's got any comments on it. There's the other 50% that the bloke who comes in actually has to get in order. So we might take away the 50%, which we think is the problem, might be part of the problem. And the easy solution for anyone out there who wants to just lambast it on Brendan Bolton, that's fine. But you bring in someone, and then by round 15 next year, we're 2-13. What are you going to say then?
Well, you're in trouble. But this is what's always happened. This is what's happened since 78. I mean, we've been agents of change at Carlton. Sometimes it works, sometimes it hasn't.
Coach and coach only. Please, let's be fair, Inkamia.
There's no way a coach can make what we saw on the field happen. It's players who are failing their execution and their thinking and their capacity to run for four quarters and their capacity to stick tackles and maintain the responsibility of their opponent for four quarters. And You can't blame a coach on where do you start? The back line make mistakes. The forward line don't know where they're running or who's responsible for leading up. The midfield group don't support each other enough. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everything.
So we weren't supposed to be here, though.
No.
This is the problem.
But I've been wary of the fact that I keep seeing the same thing.
I understand that. But this wasn't supposed to be the case.
I'll ask both of you a question.
It wasn't supposed to be. That's the problem.
I'll ask both of you
that's
a very,
the problem.
I'll ask you both a very simple question, and it might be a difficult answer. But let's go back to round one when Stephen Silvani takes over and Brendan Bolton takes over. They both take over. And then I want to fast track you to today, but I want to ask you the question. I would have liked to have asked you this question 3 years and 10 matches ago. Where would you have said that we should be 3 years and 10 matches into this rebuild? Let's just say wins and losses and position on the ladder. where we are today, last no. one and
not three, ten. Not 3 wins in a year in the most recent year and a half.
Where do you think we probably should have been after 10 rounds? 5-5, 4-6, something like that.
Maybe
whatever.
Three or four wins on the board.
Right, and Gex, is it? Where do you think?
It's less about numbers for me, and more about the way we look when we play.
Do you think we would have been last? 3.5 years in, would it have been a bitter pill to swallow.
Somewhere between
10 and 16, something like that.
Yeah.
It's a
bitter pill to swallow for a lot of people out there when they look at their team and they are last, two games clear last. And I know that we were in a couple of games into right up to our ears, but we didn't close them out for whatever reason. People in close losses tend to look at coach. He should have done this. He should have done that. He could have done this. He could have done that. That's what they tend to think about, you know, close losses. When they blow out like they did, two out of the last four, then they say, that's got to be player effort. That has to be player effort. So you've got a mix here of the 10 or 11 rounds that we've had so far. You've got a real mix here between player and coach. There's a mix of reasons why these defeats are happening.
There's no simple. Anyone who thinks it's a...
Well, I'm telling you, there are people out there who think you take away that and introduce this and overnight you're going to be hunky-dory.
They're morons. It's ridiculous.
The mainstream population have a fast food mentality about everything in the world.
That's what hunky-dory is.
They think there's a silver bullet for every problem and they think you just... You know, you wave a magic wand and black becomes white.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. Like, seriously, this is a complex scenario. You've got any given week, you've got 22 individuals on a park and you're trying to blend them organically to make something very difficult come together and make a cohesive system that works. And that is a difficult thing to do. But when... The elements that you have to use are probably at a level lesser than every other club. It makes it a million times harder to do.
But they shouldn't be. This is what people will say about Carlton. You've got 14 first-round draft picks on your list. They shouldn't be lesser than every other club.
Right.
You're into a fourth year to develop what is a blue-chip list.
Mm. Well, blue and you've chip. Won.
Well, that's what they'll tell you.
The thing is, when you draft these top draft picks, what do you know about them?
Well, but it's the same at every other club, mate.
But
like
some clubs, seem to be able to bring on or make or get luckier.
This goes to what Carlton is at the moment. This is not Brendan Bolton's fault. He's swimming against something, and I've got no idea. If I sat here and sound like I profess to know what it is.
Well, you'd be a genius, Andy, if
you would
knew.
Be.
I mean,
mate, it goes right to the top at Carlton. It goes right to the very top at Carlton. Things don't happen at our footy club unless we get the imprimatur of some very powerful people. And the very powerful people who drive a lot of the decisions that get made at Carlton, they don't know a lot about footy anymore. They just spend a lot of money. They spend a lot of money at the club. And... I could cost myself all sorts of things if I keep going here. But
you don't want to do that.
But something's got to give, Gex. Something's got to give.
Of course.
The day of bowing at the altar of powerful, moneyed families who think that it's their God-given right to decide things about the Carlton Footy Club, those days have got to change, mate. They got it.
I would hope that has changed.
I don't think it has.
Okay.
All right. I don't think it has.
Well, that's why you have a board of directors, isn't it?
Oh, mate. So, okay. Boards.
Isn't that their role?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
I would assume.
Who's going to make the decision on, if it isn't to be Brendan Bolton, who makes the decision on the next coach? They'll get a subcommittee. They'll go to Egon Zender. They'll go and get some
consultant.
They'll go and get some consultant, and they'll spend $250,000 on the consultant. And the consultant will give them
an envelope.
Yep.
And the winner is
and here's the two names.
Sydney.
What is the board doing? Put it on the line. Take some responsibility. drive the club, do the right thing by the Carlton Football Club. This club is it's a very difficult beast to move around. And people have come in and tried to change the direction of the Carlton Footy Club, and some of them have lost their jobs at the club trying to do it. And they run into this old school. It's like the bluestone that is part of our traditional jumper that sits in the laneways around the back streets of Carlton. That's how embedded the culture is at our footy club. And it used to work back in the old days where you could write a check and go and get the best four players from South Australia or WA, no problems. Bang, go get them. We'll win another premiership. Can't do it. Haven't been able to do that for 25 years. And I don't know whether we are as...
fair dinkum.
Progressive, fair dinkum, ready to bot.
Having said all that, we're coming to the point in this season where we reached a nadir, whatever you call
Nadia.
It. Nadia.
Rafa Nadal.
At the same stage.
You're going to lose me here, boys.
Acro, micro, Nadirs, Nadals.
Nadirs the very
Don't worry, just
point,
keep going.
Right? All right.
We're reaching the same point this season as we did last season. And when we were discussing these types of themes last year, we called for changes to be made in football operations, and they were made.
Mm-hmm.
And we called for the right people to be brought in to replace other people, and they were brought in. And we ticked all those boxes, and we said, good decisions. This is exactly what we called for. We called for reviews of football operations and the nuts and bolts, and we've done that. Tick, tick, tick. So
some of those people have only been here for a relatively short period of time.
This is where I'm coming from. So whether that wave of change has actually reached shore yet, that's another thing we need to consider. But we're now, you know, following on from what you said, the Sharks are starting the circle. You've got to understand that we've made good decisions up to this point. Whether they've paid off or not and why they haven't paid off or not have to be considered. So as far as ticking all the boxes to make the club better and stronger, I think they've made good decisions in that regard.
This is the frustrating thing. A lot of the things about the footy club at the moment are going beautifully.
And this is what I'm saying.
No, oh, look,
a lot of things are going really well.
Yeah, I know fact that off-field they are absolutely flying.
They're going
off-field.
Brilliantly. Flying. A lot of things are going right, but
the president, this is the president window. Couldn't have outlined it any better to me when he said that I have absolutely no problems whatsoever going forward. Great business plan. It is flying off field, flying. And he, you know, I won't say anything here that he doesn't want me to say because basically he didn't tell me anything that was, you know, that I probably can't say here, to be honest with you. He's just, you know, I basically made the call out to him because I'd heard a few things about the, possibly of a bit of backstabbing going on, you know, in off-field areas and a bit of a division, whatever, and he just basically said that is absolute and utter rubbish, garbage.
So just getting back to you, Gecko. Sorry to bug you.
No, that's right.
Just so you don't get lost in the ether. You're talking about the wave hitting the shore, right?
Mm.
You say change, good, tick, tick. Are you saying just you got to
hold the line?
Nothing changes.
I'm simply saying that. You talk about the things that we can control, things that we can't control. The things that we can control, I think from that part of that point of view, they've been very successful in their decision making.
Agree. So what are you saying?
So what's left is what we see on the field. How much of that can they control? I don't know. How much of that can you control? Again, you've got this permutation and combination of individuals that we have in our list, and they have shuffled the deck so many times for 3 years now to try and find a combination that works and the right mix of people and the chemistry that starts making the wheels turn in the right direction. And yet I've just been seeing the same ineptitude with skill, the same poor decision-making on the field, the same, you know, trying to smash down a wall with your head instead of using the right tools. You know, like we don't know how to go about it the right way for some reason. This week, the emphasis was on effort. We got the effort.
Mm.
And that gets us to the minimum level required to play a game of football.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't over the top.
No.
And then, but it's the fundamental skills that fall apart. And you don't see that. I mean, you see bits of it in other teams occasionally, but we see it across the board.
Do you think, Brian, like, just a question again that might be hard to answer. Do you think that our blokes play enough on instinct?
Oh, we don't have enough instinctive football.
But
types.
Would you know?
What do you mean?
Would you know? Would you know who the gifted, naturally instinctively gifted players are? Do you think we're a bit too, bloke gets ball in hand, bloke takes half a beat longer than he maybe should to think about what he's supposed to do next?
Yeah.
That we're a bit too, tightly wound in terms of when we get it here, whatever the.
But whose direction's that?
I'm just asking whether you I feel like we play a bit that way.
Well, the six quarters that we played really brilliant footy were the four against the Western Bulldogs and the two against
Hawthorn.
The first two against Hawthorn, which were consecutive weeks, I think.
Pinged it all over the
place. Right.
Those six quarters
there, if you bottled that and showed them that on Tuesday night, Monday night, and said, well, this is what you're capable of, and this is what you've been dishing up since. Why has this changed?
I know the reasons for the two examples you gave are quite simple. The Doggies didn't turn up, and they didn't bring any pressure on
them. Yeah, that's true.
And the first half against Hawthorn is exactly the same. Their weakness is they're not good at competitive football.
Who?
They're not good at the
Who
contest.
Aren't? Who?
Hawthorn.
So
unless their coach whips them up, they don't naturally play contested football very well. And we got them in that first half.
But if you look at what happened on the weekend, 122 contested possessions to us, 139 to them. That is extremely low in AFL standards. Extremely low numbers.
It didn't feel like a particularly brutal game.
It was not. And when you're having 200 uncontested possessions each side, then it comes down to ball use.
Correct.
And what happened to the ball use
when
we had it?
We're skillless.
So we really should have been at least getting a lot more looks at the goals. And what do we have? 15 shots at goals from 42 inside, 42 lousy inside 50s. And most of them were lousy.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, and we had the number that we had until about the halfway
17,
through the third quarter was pitiful.
Pitiful. So in an uncontested game of footy, we still can't get the ball in there.
No.
What's breaking down? What is breaking down with these players? What is in their minds that they need a bit of a rattle, a bit of a shake? You hear them after the match, Ed Curnow talking and Cruz was talking, and they all just said, oh, you know, just some fundamentals and, you know, some skill errors and some decisions. And it's just the same.
What else are they going to say? They've got nothing else they can say.
But maybe that's maybe
somebody's
well, what
got
else
to take
is it?
A microphone, and if you take it, you just got to talk, don't you?
But what else?
You can't say I got no idea what you. It's the jargon of.
It's like an economist. They have their own words.
But
that
I'm saying what they said is what they're being told actually happened. Well, look, you know what? There's something we don't touch on a lot, and certainly, you know, the game was, I can't remember what the scores were at three-quarter time. How far behind were we? 10, 15, 16?
How about that? 16.
16 points, right. So the game, if you want it, it's there if you want it. If you really want it, it's 16 points the difference. And I know you're going to have to change the way you're playing in that third quarter. That second half of the third quarter was dismal. But at least we're getting our hands on it. We were getting our hands on it. We had 15 and 16 inside 50s, but couldn't do anything with it. My question is, where's our want, the real want to do anything possible to win that game of football in the last quarter? And I mean the want.
From go to woe.
30 minutes of uncompromising, right? Contest by contest. He's not going to beat me. I'm going to make sure that I do this and he does that. Where is the absolute want by this collective to win a game of football? The want. When it's on the line.
They dominated the inside 50s.
Who did?
In that last stage of the match. We were dominating inside 50s.
Well, we end up, it was 47 to 42 by the end. Saints, but the want to win the game.
The middle part of the inside 50s. We dominated the last part of the game in the inside of 50s.
Not the last part of the game. They had the last three scoring shots, St Kilda.
Oh, all right.
We didn't.
Yeah, because we'd thrown everything we had and nothing happened.
Did we, Gex? Did we?
It was like 20 to 12 inside 50s and we got nothing out of it.
But so that gives us the right to just put the white flag up and say, that's it. It's your turn to go.
It gets to the point where they say, well, this is futile because it doesn't work. That's what I see from the players.
I'm not copping that. I'm not going to cop that.
You might not see it on as far as a one sort of one-off game of football. But when you build that up over a half a season and they do the same thing every single week, there's a futility that's embedded in our players that says, we've been here before and it's going to happen again. And
it's the beaten dog syndrome. There's no question there's a bit of that about us. I mean,
well, then we have got bigger issues than the coach.
You need to see reward for effort. And I'm not saying they bring the effort every year, every week, but when they bring effort and the effort gives them nothing, what are they left to think? Like, what else can we do? We're trying, but nothing's happening.
Yeah, I think you have to go again. You've got to go again. You're agreeing. You're sort of half agreeing with one another, you two blokes at the moment.
I think you just say you've got to go again. But look, there's a problem that I see on the list as a whole, 40-42. One big stark problem I see with the list.
We're way too tall. That's just driving me mad, the way we pick our teams.
We are too tall.
We're too big. And we talked about this about 6 weeks ago. We think clearly the way we're picking our side at the moment, we think we know something that, and maybe we're picking the players that we think are our better players and they all happen to be tall. Well, we think we are doing something at the moment that bucks the trend in the competition. Nobody is going as tall as us. Nobody.
You talk about the 22 here on the park.
Of course I am.
I'm going a little bit more deeper than that. I'm talking about the list that we've got.
Well, we did.
Do you know the list that we've got? The list?
Yeah, I've
the list that we've got. We've got 18 players over 193 and a further two at 192. We've got 20 players at 192 plus.
Yeah.
At 193, you've got 18 players on the list.
Yeah.
Right?
At that
height.
And there's this view that you can't play Setterfield, Kennedy, and Cripps in the same team. I mean, it's just, it's a nonsense. We are constantly one, two, at times, it seems to my eye, three players short who can just compete notionally between the arcs. We always seem to be outnumbered.
Well, that's to me.
And methodology comes into it. I know you're big on this, Gex. Their method on the weekend, exiting contest, stoppage, was way better than ours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Way better than ours.
I actually saw them, right, when they were Dunstan, Gresham, and who was the other one?
Billings. And
there was the other one, the number nine.
Yeah, Steele. Yeah.
There were times where they walked out of stoppages. Walked out.
God.
As soon as they got the pill, our blokes just went straight. Our blokes peeled off, went to cover the one for the handball, and the player that won the stoppage said, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm walking out of here. I ain't handballing. My next option is a kick. I ain't handballing to the blokes you're standing on.
Do you think we're always...
Are we serious?
Do you think... Irrespective of that, I agree with that. But irrespective
of
that, do you reckon we are the composition of our 22 more often than not? Do you have issues with it?
I do, yeah.
On a weekly basis? Do you look at the team that we pick and go,
I certainly do.
Do you reckon
we
got one or two too many tall blokes in this side?
Most weeks I do.
Broadly speaking.
Absolutely.
Do you have that view?
I have at times, but I also think it's like shuffling the chairs on the Titanic at times. I don't think what combination you throw out there, you're going to get the same result.
Well, you very well might, mate, but we're all trying to look for answers here.
Mm.
I mean, you can throw your hands up and come up with. You can tell us what we know.
Bottom line for me is you pick the 22 players with the most skill and acumen. I don't care what size they are. If they have skill and acumen, in other words, can they use the ball and can they think their way around a football ground? They're the ones I want to play. And I don't care if they're 7 foot or bloody 3 foot four.
Right. Yeah, I'd have to I have to disagree with that.
I don't go for it.
I agree with the second half.
We're at the point where I will listen to anyone. Because seriously, you reckon I've got answers?
No, I agree. I agree with the second half. No, footy know how.
I will ask a lot of questions to you blokes, and a lot of questions I will fire. If you think I'm any genius that I have solutions, you're absolutely kidding yourselves, right? I don't have the solutions. I just see 20 players on our list, right, that are way too tall to have 20 on a list.
You need to go through them. And so we can sort of think about them a bit more rather than just
I would suggest, well,
I need to know who those players are to have a proper opinion.
What do you mean? You know who all our tools are.
Well, Cripper's one of them.
Let's take him out then. Let's go back to 17.
Yeah.
Right? He is in that.
Yeah.
And then the rest are the 7 or 8 that we're playing at the moment in the side at the moment on the weekend. And then on top of that, you've got Goddard on your list, Ben Silvani on your list, you've got Lobe on your list, you've got Phillips on your list, DeConin on your list. Heck, even Finbarr O'Dwyer's 192.
Okay.
So you know what I mean. There's a lot there that, mate.
But there's
they're not even going to be
89% of them aren't playing.
So you're saying they're taking up.
Taking up list space. Yeah.
That's what I think.
So answer me this question, right? You two. Okay. Just answer me this. If this week we play Essendon, if you wanted to drop two tall blokes because they're not they've got all sorts of problems in their big man department, right? Mm. We don't need them, right? So we're going to drop two tall blokes. We're going to bring two shorties in. Who are the two shorties you bring in?
Levi has to stay in.
No.
I'm not asking who. Just assume two go out, right? Two talls have gone out.
Cederfield,
right?
Lang.
Okay. Cederfield, Lang. We're happy for them to come in.
Come in, yeah, fine. Yep.
Right. Good. So no. So the good. The reason I'm happy with that answer is you can find two straight away.
Yeah.
Who you think are worthy of introduction to the 22?
Yeah,
bring them in.
Agree with that.
Good. That has to happen. This week, and I agree with you about Levi. Mm.
Yeah, well, you're on the MCG.
Still an obvious matchup.
He's fantastic. It's just, you know, I could find two tools to kick out of that side quite easily, whether it be Marchbank and Plowman, whether it be Plowman and
McGovern's
gone anyway. You only have to find one more, and you know, you're going to come down to.
McGovern's a really interesting player. McGovern, and we've talked about him already a lot in 10 weeks. Mitch McGovern is getting paid presumably pretty good money. Mitch McGovern makes a decision between now and the start of next year. Do I want to be a bit player who, you know, can, you know, cruise around and take a hanger every, my whole lot's real looks all right, or do I want to be a proper player? Do I want to be a proper player? Yeah.
Do I want to be like my brother?
Well, it's an interesting comparison. He's never going to be as good as his brother, but the brother was a late developer as well. So maybe the penny will drop for Mitch. But Mitch McGovern, we need Mitch McGovern to be an A-grade player.
We need him ambitious. Oh,
absolutely.
Mate, absolutely. He's got to have a...
He can't disappear.
A pre-season, no injury, like he had the back, then ankles, and then knees, and ankles, and ankles.
More than that.
Go on.
You said before to him, or to us, and everyone listening, the bit about when it's on the line, are they doing everything? We want Mitch McGovern to be fit, but it's for Mitch McGovern, it's about that.
Yep.
Mitch.
Yeah.
Are you doing everything, mate?
No.
He's not doing everything.
No way.
He's not doing everything.
No way.
No way is he doing everything.
No way.
He did some embarrassing.
Samo's not doing everything. Zach Fisher's not doing everything. Dave Cunningham's not doing everything. Jacob Wiedering's not doing everything. Lockie Plowman's not doing everything. Caleb Marchbank's not doing everything. All our good players, most of our good players are not doing everything. They're not doing everything.
They're not doing everything. I saw a change in Simo. They're not playing with an urgency or an urgency that is demanded of players at this level.
You have to play at this level. I'm asking for that extra 5 or 10%. You have to come, mate. You've got to bring it.
I'm asking for it.
If you don't bring it, you are not going to make it in this caper.
Nope.
Here's the other side of that. Have we seen that yet from any of those players?
That's a good question. Have we seen it? Go over and above, all the way.
This is the mystery of Carlton.
Yeah.
Because you can't have so many of those players who aren't like so many other players you see in other teams. Like, they are as good as they are with talent.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening to attitude and game that game sort of face that you see on proper this is, players. This is,
don't tell me that Jack Nunes. Don't tell me that Jack Nunes and Seb Ross are better players than better, more gifted natural footballers than Sam Petrescu-Seaton and we'll pick another one. Dave Cunningham. They're not. They're not more naturally gifted. They're
you,
not.
You know what?
But
I,
they
you
are
know
hard-nosed pros who are no good. They are no good, St Kilda, and they have been fucking ripped to pieces. Four of their starting six aren't even playing in the back half. They're 5-5. They're 5-5.
They're
St Kilda.
Fine in a way.
They are because
fine in a
because
way.
They've got players who put it out there week in week out. Sure. They will run into teams like Collingwood, who when the gas gets stepped on, they're just too good. They're too good. But every week, bar a blip here and a glitch there, they've got players who put it on the line.
Mm-hmm.
They get the most out
but
of themselves.
Do you know what else it is? All those types of players from other teams that we're talking about, they actually believe they belong in the AFL. They believe that is their rightful place to be every given week, and they play accordingly.
Because they've learned how to compete.
Our blokes look like they don't think they belong.
No, I think this is true, but we haven't got bodies. We're not strong and physical.
Well, that is a problem. When you're talking about midfields versus midfields, that is definitely a problem at our club. Hey, there's no
Matt
doubt about
Kennedy
it.
Kennedy didn't even look that big on the wall. You know, we're going big body bringing in Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy didn't even look.
No.
This was one of my issues last year. I wanted us to get bigger and stronger. They seem to put more emphasis on stamina and thinning down these days, which I don't quite get because I see other teams and other midfield types, they're all got bigger biceps and muscles in their legs than we have.
You love a good bicep.
No, I agree. I look at the midfields v midfields week in, week out, and we just look slimline and rely on one bloke.
Well, we don't run into a big one this week. They're not big.
No.
They're not big.
No, they don't. But
they're not big. I know for a fact that a couple of their blokes are petrified of number nine.
Inside mids, they've got none.
No.
So no. All right. Again, like last week, we can see where we can even up a bit, but that's another.
But you know, winning the game of football is, you know. But look, that's. I don't know.
So what do we do?
The pregnant pause.
No. Nah, what do we do? Everybody's talking. Let's have the conversation to whatever depth you want to have it. Right. What do we do? What do we do? Where are we at with the? Where are we at in terms of making a decision? North Melbourne's made the move, right? They're the first one. Brad Scott's name has been linked so strong to our club.
Who do you think initiated that decision?
No question, it was Brad Scott's people. No question.
I see it as a strategic move.
Of course it was.
Because he wants to be like first in the pecking
order. No question.
He read the crystal ball and possibly the crystal ball of what's to come in our club.
He can see, his view is this. The 3 or 4 years of hard work's already been done at that joint. I've got another 5 years of gut-busting rebuilding at North Melbourne. I've done 10 years of it. He is a career, ambitious coach, and he sees us as being an attractive option. I'm absolutely 100% certain of this.
Well, if he does, I mean, it gives you – it fills me a little bit because
– He wants to coach –
Because then you're looking at a bloke who's obviously had a good look at the list and said, well, yeah, it's kind of what I want to take over. But
well, he knows how to beat us. He knows how to beat us.
Certainly does. So
he knows how to beat us.
He does.
By the same token, what brand of football has the Kangaroos been playing for so long?
Oh, but it's
hard, uncompromising,
getting the most out of what they've got.
Yeah,
sure.
And I don't reckon he's had a great list over the last 10 years anyway, just quietly.
But for the last time.
I reckon he's had a great list and they made two prelims.
He should have left that club 2 years ago. The last 2 years have been his worst 2 years. Prior to that, I don't reckon. I think they've been one of the most admirable footy teams in the comp.
Honest. Absolutely honest.
No question.
And I would say at times our list has been quite dishonest.
Well, we've been saying for years. You said it before earlier. We've probably been putting guns into blokes who don't deserve it.
Yeah. And so basically,
we've talked about selection integrity.
Yeah. Well, that's what was on the table a while ago.
We talked about that.
I think that might have been shifted a little bit. And look, where I'm at. Okay. Where am I at? Can I'm not sure if I'm allowed to have 50 cents each way.
Oh, of course you can.
I can.
You can. Of course you can.
Or the 50 cents each way bet would be let the current coach run the course this year. Mm-hmm. I want to see dramatic improvement between now and the end of the year for him to hold on to his spot.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen and we are to get someone of the ilk of Scott or whoever it may be, then it gives me something over the summer to look forward to. And I'll quantify that by saying that whoever comes in has gone for an interview, has wanted this job for a reason. I would like to think that that reason's not just for big money. I would like to think that that coach comes in and says, I like what I see, but I know what they can be doing and what they're not doing. And I reckon I can bring this to the table. And I reckon with a little bit of tweaking to the list, we can maneuver this, get this bloke in, get that bloke in. That's the type of fella we need. That's the type of fella we need. I know what it takes to get them to a final series and beyond, preliminary, whatever it may be. Then it gives me something going forward. But if we peter out to a 2-3-4 win for the year, and then everyone sits on their hands and says, oh, no, let's give him another go.
Hold the line.
Let's hold
the
line. Let's just give it another go. Let's just give it another go. And we come to the halfway mark and we're none the wiser, I'd be devastated more than what I am now.
What about you?
Is that too broad? Is that too much of a 50 cents each way?
I'll respond to that in a moment.
I think that's pretty much the same way I'd
You reckon get it? Is that not too much?
Yeah,
that's not fence sitting, is it?
I think it'd look very tacky if we jumped ship with the coach at this stage. I don't think it's going to achieve anything anyway, so why bother?
No, well, last time we did that, when we flicked Moldhouse and brought in Johnny Barker, he went 2-2 in his first four, and then we lost about 8 in a row. Yeah. And in those losses, there were some absolutely fearful hidings. Yeah. The arse fell right out of the joint.
Yep.
So the only caveat I'd and this will never happen. It will never happen in footy anymore. But the only caveat I'd put on that is if they've made their mind up, if the club's made its mind up
now
right. that he's gone,
then make
and
move.
Only if
yeah, I
the bloke
saying.
Was ready to go. If whoever the new coach is to be says, I'm ready to go, put me in now. I want to start now. I don't want to wait till I want to get to know these players. I want to see how they operate under pressure. I want to know who they are. I want to watch them. I want to watch them in the run to the wire.
Oh, that's an interesting
I want to shape
theory,
the
one.
List. I need to get in now. I'm ready to go. I know the competition. I know who they are. I've coached against them for 10 years. That would be my only – it's not going to happen, right? But that would be my – because footy doesn't work that way anymore. We're about committees and we're about good governance and we aren't ruthless. We've lost our ruthless edge, our footy club. The two clubs, I'll tell you, Richmond lost their ruthless edge a long time ago and they've recast themselves as a slightly different club. When we were growing up, who were the two most ruthless clubs in the competition?
When we were growing up?
Yep.
Ruthless.
Richmond, ruthless.
Definitely.
Richmond. But then.
Prior.
Yeah, no. I reckon Richmond lost their way a bit from the kind of mid 80s.
Ruthless.
Well, ruthless
Graham,
clubs.
The Graham Richmond.
Yeah, yeah. So back then, no doubt they were in the 70s and very early 80s. I would have thought that we were one. We were known for our ruthlessness.
Oh, we didn't take any shit.
And who was the other one?
The Pies?
No. Fucking Essendon.
Essendon, what do they do? They
Kevin
stuck with fucking Sheedy for 30 years.
Oh, yeah. What did Sheedy, and what did he do?
Oh, 4 out of 30. Not good enough, Kev.
What's happened to Carlton and Essendon?
Oh, both clubs are in dire straits.
We've gone through the salary cap despair. And
they've gone through the,
and they've
what
gone
they through
the supplements. Yeah. We've lost our, I feel like we've, fuck,
lost
who cares?
We've lost
who
it.
Cares? I don't care. I'm only using them as an example. Yeah. How, you, when you can lose something.
We've lost a bit of identity, I reckon.
Oh, we've lost our identity. We are. I'll write it down. What is our identity? Are we just part of the AFL 18 now? We're just part.
We're insignificant.
We are sitting back waiting for our turn.
What I was saying.
Insignificant.
We are waiting for our turn.
Irrelevant.
What I was alluding to at the start of the show, and I said the pagan Malthouse here is that we have bottomed.
But at least
bottomed out four times in the last.
I agree
three
with
decades.
That. But at least we went and got dynasty coaches. Yeah. Now, it didn't work. Now, Pagan was cast because of the salary. We you know, his list was a fucking shambles. So I feel sorry for Dennis.
But I feel that we started losing our identity. Remember the players he brought in with him? The Mick Martins.
But that's
of the
because
world?
We had nothing, mate. Our I list was absolutely
that, but
bereft.
It also eroded all of the great names that came before.
No doubt about that. But that was because we fucked up. We cheated and we got our right whack. And our list was a disaster. Absolute disaster.
I've had 50 cents each way. Can I have 50 cents a place as well?
Go on.
If you ask me, what do you actually think is going to happen?
I got asked this on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up because of that. You need to respond, obviously, because what I got given is a little bit different to what you said, I think. So if you ask me what I actually think will happen, actually, I'm having 50 cents the place that I think our coach will not survive. He will not be coaching us next year, I don't think.
Now, I got asked a question on the weekend, live on radio, had no idea it was coming, and the question was, who do you think's got the better chance of being coach of Carlton come round one, 2020, Brendan Bolton or Brad Scott? You two answer that question.
The better chance right now?
Yeah.
You'd have to say Brad Scott right now.
That's exactly what I said.
And that's what I would say.
I'm not barracking for that.
No, I'm not barracking for that.
But you've got to ask the question. Your gut feeling is what you just said. You can only answer the questions the way... You know, the way you feel like answering.
You're becoming a bookmaker. You're analysing or assessing.
What about three bets, are you?
You're assessing the risk, aren't you? You're assessing.
And you might get it wrong. You might still miss the winner.
Whether you're a bookmaker, an insurance company, you're assessing risk. You're trying to project forward and assess what might happen.
We know that. There's a big audience out there that we have. And, you know, they come far and wide. I had a message from a bloke from Belfast, Gwyn Brewer, and just said, Baz, I reside in Belfast.
Yeah, great.
Fantastic. And he's never been to a live game. Loves his Blues.
He's been to the Giants Causeway, though.
Yes.
Anyway,
I'll go with you. And
best part of the world.
And he just said, you know, gave me this bit of a message. And at the end he said, oh, I just hope on the program that, you know, you end with, you know, don't worry, Gwyn, it'll be all okay. Gwyn, I can tell you right now, I personally can't give you that guarantee. I can't give you that guarantee that everything's going to be okay. So, I can tell you tomorrow the sun will come up.
So here's the...
I can guarantee.
So you're right? It's a crapshoot. It's a risk assessment. It's all that, right? I'll ask you two and I'll ask everybody listening. Give me one coach who is a guarantee. One coach who is a guarantee to turn us around.
There is none.
There is none.
Absolutely none.
There is
it's
none.
All
based on history, which has gone back a long way.
So we can say Scott. Clarkson,
he's the best. Clarkson,
go get him.
Because he did it at Hawthorn, he'll do it at Carlton.
That is the absolute truthful answer. There is no guarantee that there is one person out there who's going to turn this around.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So the pickles out there who are saying, oh, get rid of the coach and everything's going to be hunky dory.
Oh, but if you get Scott, I'm tearing up my membership.
Oh, give me a spell. I mean, give me a spell.
What the fuck?
It's a game within a game, isn't it? The whole coaching.
Yeah, sure it is. Absolutely.
It's just a game.
Me as a member, you guys as a member, we don't get a choice. We all have opinions. You know, we know what opinions are. You know,
Everyone's got one like an arsehole.
Exactly. Yeah. Correct. I knew you were going to say that.
It's Dennis Pagan.
Well, it's true. But you can have an opinion. But guys, we don't have a say. At the end of the day, we are in the club's hands. Someone is going to make a decision.
All right, let me ask you another question.
For or against.
If Brendan Bolton is to perish as our coach.
It's probably a little bit unfair that we're going this far.
Where we're at the moment. So we're talking about that. We all hope that we win our next nine.
Yeah, all right.
And Brendan Bolton finishes like Buddy Burnbra.
There is a tad of uncomfortable.
Yeah, but this is, let's not
apologize. It's a little bit uncomfortable.
Let's not apologize having the conversation about a club that everybody else is having about our club.
It's too late. We've gone too deep, so keep going.
I forgot my question now.
A good question, Ty.
I don't have it written down. Here it is. Here's the question. If it is to be the end of Brennan, right? And when we all hope
it's
that,
not.
That it's not.
Correct.
But if it is, would you like the club, through the people at the club, to find someone and appoint them? Or would you prefer the club go, we're going to cast the net wide, world's best practice, we've got Egon Zehnder in, and we are going to have the, we're going to get a subcommittee, and we're going to do this.
Fucking find the right bloke for the job and put him in, for fuck's sake.
And appoint him, right?
Give me a spell, please. It can't be that hard.
Take some ownership.
All that money for Egon Zehnder.
Well, whatever, you know.
I don't think I have an opinion on that.
I'm sick of. That's what I'm with Brennan Bolton.
It's not that hard. Interview after
Kenny
Sheldon,
Dave. But we went and got a subcommittee of people, and they interviewed, discussed, and then presented. No,
but what
I wanted to be
looking,
on.
If you're looking back at the list that they ended up with, were there any? Is there anyone we missed along the way?
I want to do it differently. I just want the club to say.
I'll tell you how they can do it.
I reckon the three of us
interview these blokes, right, that are genuine, want to coach our club, present.
On the Carlton show.
Live. I don't think you do it live.
No, we don't do anything live. But
I'd be happy to sit down and listen to them.
If Mark Lajudice is listening to this right now.
If you couldn't pick out one of the six to say, he was impressive. He's got what I... Hey?
Huh?
You know what you want to do?
No. No, that's
what do you want to
move on? No. I said I know who I don't want it to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's okay. But if he presents, you got to listen.
Oh, he'll present.
Well, you got to listen
because there might be a lot of money on the line.
Well, I would say Roosie has to probably, you know, put his hat in the ring. And at the end of the day, Andy, you listen to anyone. You
Andy,
can't.
I'm talking about Roosie.
I didn't. Huh. I'm throwing him up there.
Good man, poor Roos.
But what I'm saying to you is,
didn't Wolsey call him the Sundance Kid? Was that Wolsey Roosie have got that thing going from a long time back?
And I certainly don't want love jobs here too, by the way. So at the end of the day, you know, whoever they appoint or whoever...
Oh, I don't think that was a flattering. I don't think Wolsey used that as the flattering.
Well, no, but there are other love jobs at our club that have ties to a Paul Roos. So at the end of the day, I'd like to think that it's done fair and equitable, and you just sit there, you listen to whoever's got to present and say, right, I think he's the man.
Anyway, that's I'm just bowling out some questions.
Yeah, we're going a long way.
Oh, I think we are too. Yeah. So
one way to go back to get to the votes from the weekend's game. Mm. That's where we're at, right? So we've discussed it. We won't discuss it again. I don't think we need to discuss that again. Well, between now and whenever, we've done it. Everybody else is talking about it, so we've talked about it.
Yeah.
Some people are probably annoyed that we've done it, but. I felt like that
not
was what I wanted.
Sure, not sure they'd be annoyed. I think it's something that was pretty. It's obviously topical, and I'd like to think we give it some balance. That's all.
Votes. Anyone? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Does anyone want to say anything else about anything you saw on Sunday? Or no? No. Not it.
Nothing else there, Gex.
I did look at something.
Tickled your fancy. Didn't tickle your fancy.
I had a monologue, but I'm going to save that for another show.
Oh, like a monologue.
It's not the right place.
Shakespearean stuff. More macro micro.
There's a me moment. It's just not going to waste
up your alley. Do you know? Since
I wouldn't mind hearing.
Next week.
Is it written down or in your head?
Depending on what we do.
Is it written down or in your head? In your head or written down?
Yeah, but it won't work now. It had to be at the start of the show.
Do you know, since 1966, a bloke kicked 24 goals, right, and was our leading goal kicker.
24 goals for the season.
Yeah, he was our leading goal kicker.
Could happen this year.
Do you know who that was?
In 66.
Oh,
yep.
Jeez.
No.
Adrian Gallagher, right?
Gags. Since,
Gags. 24.
So since then,
scrapper.
So since 1966, our past five seasons have been our worst leading goal kicker returns. Bang, bang, one year after another since 1966. Just something that as I was pouring through numbers and looking at coaching changes
happened. Less than 24.
No. But 24 was our worst since 66.
Oh, right.
And the last 5 years have been variously our next five worst since 1966
right.
In a row.
Yep.
In a cluster.
So that would have been.
So Harry's kicked seven.
Right kicked. Yeah. 30-plus 2 years in a row.
Yeah, Charlie, Wright. Oh, God. I can't remember who they were now. Isn't that terrible? We should know that off the top of our heads.
You reckon? I don't look at that at all anymore. Leading goal kickers?
Yeah. Andreas Everett, I reckon, was our leading goal kicker 1 year.
Oh, God, you might be right.
I reckon Everett was our leading goal kicker 1 year.
Truth,
it's
you're
been
really,
horrible.
You're
it's
really
been
pulling
horrible.
Them out your ring.
This is the depressing the stuff that you do. This is the stuff you
boy,
do.
Oh, boy. Have we gone through 52 or more in the last few years?
Righto.
I've gone for Levi 3. Well done, son. You fought back from... some average comments, obviously.
He's got some a really good matchup this week too. It's going to be probably one
who's
of the.
Who's it going to be? Is
it be against? McKernan? No, no.
Who's
the Essendon tall back? Key back will go forward this week. What's his name?
What?
Hooker.
He'll be on hooker this week for sure.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so Hurley will play on. Hurley will play on McCoy.
Ah, mother. The old stub. He stubbed his toe.
He's hit something.
You know what? You said something bad, and that's the devil getting you. That's the devil getting him, Gex. That's what my grandmother always used to say.
He hyperextended his toe.
Oh, yeah. Smacked it on one of those.
My grandmother always used to say that. Every time, see?
Your grandmother?
Yeah, used to say, see, the devil got you because you were naughty to me. The devil got you.
So hooker goes forward, right, huh? Yep.
Okay. Levi 3, well done. Walshy, I gave 2. I gave Ed Curnow 2. SPS 2. Cripps 2. Charlie 1. Simpson 1. Stocker 1. Can I just quickly say something on Simpson? I thought Simo, little change in his demeanour. I think he's up to here with it all.
Yeah, I
sensed a bit of that.
Sensed a bit of it. I saw a few things.
I don't like seeing that because it means...
I know, but I just sensed a few things.
And it's
very
early in the season to be
seeing
that.
Yeah, I sensed a few things that he's up to here with it, and I know he gave one player in particular an almighty bake and gave another one the Simo stare that I have not seen the Simo stare for a long time.
Mm. You done?
Yeah, done. Go. Sorry, I just wanted to just touch on Simo a little
bit. Fair enough.
It's hard doing votes because you're kind of voting on effort rather than acumen, rather than impact on a game of footy because
not many
nearly all
impact.
These players I'm going to mention have all butchered the ball at various times.
Not many had impact, to be honest.
I go 3 to Cripps, but again, it could have been 2, but I went 2 with Walsh, Ed and Levi. I thought Ed did a really good job on what we were hoping he would do as a tagging role.
Yep,
and
thank God.
He probably has another role to play this week. I'd play him on merit and try and cut him out of the game this week. But well done, Ed. Good to see you back doing what you do well. And Levi, I gave 2 votes as well, too. He's rock solid at the minute. And 1 vote each to Simo, SBS, Charlie, Cunners, Gibbons, Harry and Sauce Jack. I thought Jack tried his absolute guts out.
Not much was working,
and,
but he tried his
he
absolute.
He was thrown to the walls as he often is.
And tried everything.
He was
tried
very,
everything.
Very brave, I thought.
Got caught holding the ball twice and a little bit unlucky, but
I've given 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 blokes votes.
I gave 8.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's about on par, I think.
I could have given another 6 or 7 a vote on effort, on effort, but I needed more than effort.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
No threes. 2, Cripps, Casbolt, Walsh, Cruiser. 1, Petrescu, Seaton, Curno, Ed Curno, Charlie Curno and Newman. Newey's got to stop getting soft kicks, by the way. He likes walking out of the goal square and chalking up stats.
We didn't touch on him.
He's done it 2 weeks in a row
we
now.
We didn't touch on him, but I'll tell you, he butchered a few too. Just
remember the 30-second period
Horrible. That was the worst 30 seconds he's had at Carlton.
Freaking hell.
We can't be, you know, if you're going to, you know, hang out Plowman out here. Yep, yep. There's a few others we can hang out too. So right. And there's
was
a few just... other. Marchbank needs to lift.
Oh, no, he
big
to lift.
Time needs to lift. I'll tell you, can I just say something on Caleb Marchbank, please? He's would be about 6'4".
Oh, of course. Yeah.
6'4".
Yep.
Yep. I would certainly walk up to, if I was a new coach, I'd walk up to Caleb and say, listen here, champ, we know you like to be an interceptor. You like to get off your man. But there's going to be times in your footy career, my friend, if we're going to keep you on our list at 6'4", you're going to have to stand toe-to-toe with a bloke.
Yep.
You have to beat him. And if you don't...
Harvard, at least.
At least. And if you don't, guess what, champ? Mm-mm. It's a cruel game. Mm. So we can pussyfoot around here as much as we like and hang out to dry the ones that everyone hangs out to dry. But now and again, someone needs a little clip.
Spot on.
And he needs a little clip, this bloke, because if you're going to be 6 foot four and you think you're just going to run around on no one and run around and pick up a small, hey, champ.
The two memory
step
guys
up, sunshine.
Were very, very costly.
Oh, well, Wietering was caught horribly out of position.
Plowman, was it the two on one when he marked, Plowman came across the front?
Horrible.
Yeah. But, you know, I just thought that a bloke who's that size needs to start stepping up and
Charlie,
a big summer in the gym.
Charlie, a step in the right direction?
Yes.
Just enough?
Too many kicks under pressure.
I know.
Who wants to put their hand up and continue on the good form?
I know.
Yeah, there was...
But there's just a bit more...
No,
there's something a bit familiar about him at times, right?
No, he's dynamic.
Yep.
We want the dynamic.
Too many kicks under pressure, I felt.
Oh, yeah, no. And he's got to make better connection more often with the ones around the body. VFL, bad week. Girls hardly got on the board.
They had a terrible.
They brought in an extra three or four AFLW listed players and were terrible.
Wow.
I didn't see the game, but you just look at the scoreboard. St Kilda,
Sharks.
A couple of Carlton girls against us on the weekend. One of them was in the best, Tilly Lucas Rod. So just girls, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the VFLW form parlays into the AFLW season. We know that they've lost their best player. I'm just going to just get better.
Yeah.
The VFL, we touch on it quickly. That was a really, 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 really disturbing loss.
Oh, yeah.
They looked
really disturbing
in the first half.
They looked as good as they've looked in the first half.
The ball movement was exquisite.
They looked like a really good team.
Agreed. And
the arse dropped out of it for 35 minutes.
Yeah. Can I just say that, I don't know how to put this. Look, all I'll say is that you're both right. Ball movement was very effective because we were prepared to change the angles and not be so predictable down. You know, when we go straight down, right, it just plays into the opposition's hands. They felt that they went far too predictable in that third quarter, and they obviously felt that Sandy had lifted dramatically. So they lifted the intensity, Sandy, and we fell into the trap. And we went back into our shells, slow, long, instead of continuing to, you know, dart the ball around and shift the opposition defenders around. And they went into their shells. Mm. They came home okay, but you know that was an 8 point game. That one,
oh, they should have.
It's an 8 point game.
Sandy
are right around us.
Lost three losses on the weekend. That's terrible for a club.
It is, mate. And look, there's a lot of people that probably think, who cares about the VFL? Who cares about VFLW? You know what? We care.
I do.
We care because they wear the Carlton Guernsey, and that is where our youth is getting developed, people.
Or what the
it's or non-developed or you know, I don't know if this guy, you know, but look from a best point of view, I'll just say that I think Kerr Lang Setterfield from a Carlton point of view, I thought LeBoyce showed a little bit.
He could have kicked it. Go there. He runs into that open goal. His day could have been a lot better on the
Cottrell was in patches okay. Yeah. And from a Northern Blues point of view, Blakey's
fantastic. There's a part of me that says Carlton, specialised player for a specialised role.
Yes.
We need this guy.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
He was invited, the right guy that we need.
He was invited to train with Palmer and Fisher at the start of the year.
Yep.
They decided against it. They then went with Cottrell and Gibbons.
Yep.
Now, tonight we know that Josh
DeLuca has come to the club,
23-year-old from Subiaco, from the Waffle over there, delisted from Frio. I think he was about 3 years on the list.
Played four games.
Yep. He's a big, solid lad, very quick inside and out. The knock on him is he's kicking. He's probably may not be the best, but, you know, welcome aboard, and mate, I hope you can bring your best. You know, everyone gets an opportunity from time to time, And I hope what Gex says, that perhaps, you know, as a rookie or something or other, we could probably look at someone like Mason Blakey before someone else takes him.
Frank Anderson, I thought was going to go,
didn't. So none of the Northern Blues players got picked?
No. The week demands it, can you promise to start next week's show with your monologue / soliloquy?
Mm.
Could it be right? Is it the right thing to be done off the top of the show?
It depends on what happens.
If the week lends itself to it, will you start the show? Is that a promise you'll make to us?
Yes, remind me of it.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I don't want you to end the show like you did last week, because you declared St Kilda, so I'm not going to leave that up to you. Leave that up to me. Can I just say,
what were you
doing? Seriously.
It's so unlike you to do that.
For him to declare?
I just thought everything looked like it was...
If we don't beat the Bombers reserves this week...
Shut up.
Seriously, if we don't beat them this week, all right, I don't know what I'll do, Andy. I'll do the show next week nude.
Where's the game? I want you to do it nude.
Where's the game?
What's the benefit of it for us?
At the G.
At the G. Oh, it's a Carlton
Essendon.
Reserves.
Saying that we're playing Essendon's reserves. They've got that many out.
Sorry, I misread what you were saying.
Get with the program.
Come on, man. That is it. The Carlton show.
Oh, can I just thank Sam Finnis before we go?
Yes, you can.
For the wine.
Sam, you're a good man.
Thank you very much. And the books. I'm not sure how much the books are going to get a run because you gave a book to me and I can't read. So
you can, but
thanks, Sam. I really appreciate it, Sam. It's lovely to be thought of.
Yep. This could come in handy. This bottle of red could come in handy between now and the end of the season.
Can it what? And Sam, don't tell the boys, but I actually kept the two bottles of red sauce, pasta sauce that you made.
Perfectly right.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He dropped one. He dropped one. It fell out of the bag and busted everywhere outside the coffee shop. Can you believe it?
No.
So I said, that's all right. Give me two. I can't. You know, how do you divide two into three? Right. So I'll just take both.
That is it.
Bring the pasta in. Next week.
That is it. Carlton Show, round 10, 2019. See you next week.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old Dark Blues.
Life's so full on. I've been working on this deck for ages. These steaks don't cook themselves, you know. Life's good with a Trex deck. Composite decking made from 95% recycled materials that won't rot, stain, or fade. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.